السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه، فويل للقاسية قلوبهم من ذكر الله، أولئك في ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسج الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. هو آزاد اختر غمِ دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز اینڈ برادرز، اینڈ اور مدرز اینڈ سسٹرز ہو مے بی لسننگ اور اسٹریمنگ اور واٹ ایور پلیٹفارمز دے مے بی اویلیبل، دیز کپلٹس دیٹ ہیو بین ریسائٹڈ ٹوورڈز دی اینڈ آر دا ورڈز آف حضرت مولانا شاہ کی محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، ان وچ ہی مینشنز کہ وہ آزاد اختر غمِ دو جہاں سے، that person has achieved freedom, آزادی. He has achieved freedom from the غم, from the anxiety, from the restlessness, from the worries of both worlds. And who is that fortunate individual جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ؟ That person who becomes a غلام, a servant of مدینہ شریف. In other words, that person who subjugates himself, who becomes obedient to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person will achieve true freedom and salvation. Today we find people want freedom. They say, we want to be free. But the reality is there's no such thing as freedom. There's no such thing as freedom. No matter which country a person goes to, there will be some rules and some regulations. If somebody had to say, listen, I want freedom on the roads, so instead of driving in this direction, I'm going to be driving on the oncoming lane. And instead of stopping when the traffic light is red, I will continue. So what is going to happen? There is going to be absolute chaos. There is going to be a disaster. So even the person who is driving on the road, he has to follow the rules and the regulations of the route, of that road. A person is working, is employed in a certain company, and now he says, listen, I will arrive at this company whenever I feel like. Everyone else is coming at 8:30 or 8 o'clock, but I will come whenever I wake up, I will arrive. And I will work in whichever department I feel like working. So what will happen? The employer will say that, listen, bhai, you rather work for yourself. There's no space for you here. So he has to now follow some kind of rule and regulation. Even if that person is a alim that is teaching in some madrasa or some darul uloom, there too there will be some rules and regulations. Classes will start at a particular time. This lesson needs to be taught at that time, and that lesson needs to be taught at this time. So, to sum it up, that we are bound by some rule and some regulation and some system. So there is no such thing as absolute freedom. We have got some rules and some regulations that are controlling us. And even if the person says, you know what, Malana, I eat whatever I feel like eating. But there too, eventually, the doctors will say, okay, bhai, your sugar has gone too high. Now you've got high sugar levels. Now you've got cholesterol. Now you've got this, now you've got that, now your weight has become uncontrollable. You are now, the arteries are getting clogged. So the person realizes that even when it comes to the eating, he has to now regulate himself. The sleeping, the person has to regulate himself. And in every facet of life in this dunya, you will find that you have got some rule and some regulation and some restriction. So the fact of the matter is that we've got restrictions. So the person who thinks that he's going to get absolute freedom, he's living in a fool's paradise. There's no absolute freedom. But the reality is that the person who subjugates himself or herself to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he becomes a ghulam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes subservient to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah will bless that person with freedom from the anxiety of both the worlds. Our late Maulana Patel Sahib rahmatullah used to say that Allah ta'ala will make the person's heart gham proof. Just as you have the watches, you say the watches, this watch is waterproof. And at one time you used to get these Swiss watches, you know, they were so many meters waterproof, you could submerge it into the water. And some of them are such that you can swim deep underwater with these watches. So now you find that the water is surrounding this watch completely. But there's no water that's entering this watch. We say this watch is waterproof. So when the person, he subjugates himself, he becomes subservient, he becomes a ghulam of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst them. Then you find Allah will make that person's heart ghamproof. That there will be surrounding that person, put such a sweetness and a happiness and a tranquility within the heart, that subhanallah, no one can really understand it. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah Ali gives the example of Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu, when he was being beaten by his masters for having accepted the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he continued despite the severe beating, he kept on saying ahad. So Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah Ali says that Bilal radiyallahu anhu, by saying ahad, was experiencing such a sweetness within his heart that made him forget the pain that he was going through. And this is a condition, the condition of the heart, which is something that we want to touch on a little. That alhamdulillah is a Muslim community, mashallah, we find that externally, big changes, mashallah, you can see the white hat and the white kurta and the white pants and the white socks. But it doesn't stop there. There has to be the purity of the heart. The heart has to become pure. And for that requires a lot of effort. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's sometimes a lifelong effort. And no person should ever claim that he is pious. Allama Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that from the moment the person regards himself as good, he must understand that in the eye of Allah, he has become despicable. As soon as the person regards, main kuch hoon, main toh pahunch gaya, I have now reached. You know, alhamdulillah, I'm very good. I am a very great person. I am a very pious person. I have achieved so much. Me, myself and I. Then this is a sign that this person has become completely rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. Just on this point, Mu'inu Sahib rahmatullah Ali gives an example. He says, we went to visit one person who had gone for a number of hajj. Allah had blessed him with multiple, you know, opportunities to go for hajj. So when the Zamzam water was being brought by his son, so he said, my son, bring the Zamzam water from the fifth hajj. Bring the Zamzam water from the fifth hajj. So without divulging the name, Hazrat Ahmadullah Ali gave the example. He said that what was the need for the person to say hajj number 5? Allah knows best, but it's highly likely that the person said that because he wants everyone in the room to know, okay, I am that fortunate person who has had the opportunity to go hajj 5 times. So Allah protect, this is a sign that the person is going for hajj to get acknowledgement. That he wants people in the community to know that I am that person who went for hajj not once. You went twice, I went 5 times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We know that any action that is done for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is completely rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous hadith, innamal amalu bin niyat, actions are based and they are judged on the intentions. The person who did an action for other than Allah, he will get that. If the person built a masjid, for example, or built a madrasa, or contributed to some dini organization, So that people must come to know that, you know, I'm a philanthropist. I'm very generous. So that is what he will get. People will call him philanthropist. They'll call him a very generous man. But in the akhirat, the person will get absolutely nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we find that this ghulami of Madinatul Munawwara, this ghulami of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, coming back to the example which left the mind, that Allah ta'ala will make that person's heart gham-proof. That despite all the challenges that are going around that person, it doesn't mean the person won't go through anxiety. It doesn't mean the person will not go through some kind of poverty or sickness or ill health. But Allah will fortify that heart. Allah will put a sakina within that heart. And one beautiful example comes to mind again of Shaykh Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And alhamdulillah, we heard this example directly from him. And he said that once he was sitting with his Shaykh, Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, and they were staying in the jungles. It was a very simple place where they were living, far away from, you know, the cities. And he said they were eating dal, not the dal that we get here. MashaAllah, you have beautiful dal all around. But that was a very simple kind of a dal that they were eating. Very basic kind of a food. So he said, Akim Akhtar, mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha ho. He said, Akim Akhtar sahab, I am getting the enjoyment of biryani in this dal. So Hazrat said, Hazrat, how is that possible? He said, I'm thinking to myself that my beloved Allah is the one who blessed me with this food. And my beloved Allah is the one who has blessed me with my hands. And so I feel as if my beloved Allah is feeding me. Now the person who's an ashik, you find the youngsters, may Allah protect them, but many youngsters go through this phase where they fall in love and they go through the illicit love relationships. And even if it is a permissible love relationship, the person is newly married. Sururu shahrin. The 1 month of enjoyment, the person is in the honeymoon phase of his marriage. So now you find that if the wife has to put that morsel of food in the mouth, the person is not even focused on what food she put inside. Just the fact that the beloved put the food in the mouth, the person goes into a state of ecstasy. The person who is ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the person is pondering that my Allah is the one who's feeding me, he said, I am getting the enjoyment of biryani in this simple dal. So on this Ma'inu Sahib Rahmatullah, if you say that our condition is this, because of our sins, because of our disobedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, we do not even get the enjoyment of dal in the biryani that we're eating. We're not even getting the enjoyment of dal in the biryani that we're eating. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to rid our lives of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, respected elders and brothers, requires an effort. In the verses of the Quran Sharif that we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that person whose heart has been expanded. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Can that person whose heart has been expanded, it has been opened to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can it be equal to the one whose heart has been closed? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That woe to that heart that has become hard to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, that person is in manifest and clear misguidance. May Allah protect us. Upon this, the Sahaba-i-Kiram who, subhanallah, we are completely indebted to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, that they asked these questions. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how do we know that this nur has entered the heart, that the heart has been expanded? Are there any signs? Allahu min alama. Are there any signs? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave 3 signs and 3 indicators that the person's heart is now open to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now it is for you and I to judge ourselves. Today we find that we have become highly judgmental of others. This is a trick of shaitan. And you see that person, see how he's dressed. See what kind of topi that person is wearing. See what kind of waistcoat he's wearing. See which sheikh he's following. We pointing at every single person. Like one person came to our late Ma'inus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And I also knew this person. And he had an objection. He says, Maulana, you know, I've been sitting in your company. I'm convinced. But there's one thing that is, you know, worrying me. That you are wearing your watch in your left hand. The watch should be in the right hand. A true wali of Allah will keep the watch in the right hand. You are wearing it in the left hand. So Hazrat Mu'ayyan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, because this person was interacting with Hazrat, Hazrat explained to him, brother, you know, you have this bond on your house and you are paying interest, and this is going to invite the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. He was trying to encourage him to get out of these debts. So Maulana said that, look, this is the trick of shaitan. That you are concerned about the fly that is sitting on the nose of the next person, but you are forgetting about the python that is wrapped around your neck. That there is a python that's wrapped around your neck, but you're worried about that fly that's on the next person's nose. And then Maulana explained, he said that, you know, I write a lot of letters. And whilst writing the letters, I find that the watch on my right hand, it becomes an obstacle. It's more practical, I find, that if the watch is on the left hand. And then Maulana also explained that there is no evidence, we find, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were wearing watches in those times. So you can't even really prove it in that sense. But nevertheless, the point is that this is the society that we have become. That you will find people are far away from deen. The person has absolutely no knowledge of deen. But he finds the audacity to stand up and point fingers at people who are far more knowledgeable than him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. To such an extent that a point can even come where the person stands up and tries to criticize the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to be extremely cautious, and we need to be judging ourselves. Don't judge the next person. If anything, have a good opinion. Ulama ikram explained that if you enter the masjid and a person that's standing next to you happens to be older than you, and he appears to apparently outwardly be far away from deen, then at that time you should say that this person, he's older than me, he's in his 50s, he's in his 40s, he's in his 60s. How do I know that perhaps for 40 years of his life, he was obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and perhaps just now, in this last few years, he has, you know, inclined towards some disobedience which I can externally see. But I don't know what's the condition of his heart. So in that sense, he has got 40 years of good deeds. I'm only in my 20s or my 30s. He's got much more than me. And if the person is very, very young, the person is young and he appears to be far away from deen, perhaps earrings or tattoos or whatever it may be, then at that time the person can say to himself that, listen, I'm in my 40s, I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 30s, this person is in his teens. How do I know that this person could change his life and live till he's 70 years old and become the great wali of the time? As Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullah alayhi used to say, aise waise kaise kaise hoge, or kaise kaise aise waise hoge, that there were people who were aise waise, far away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayah, and they became kaysay. They became the great walis of the time. Look at Umar ibn Farooq radiallahu anhu. What was his condition? He had set out with the intention of assassinating the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can there be any intention worse than that? But today, he is sleeping right next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwar. Or kaysay, kaysay, aise, waise hoge. And there were people who were high up there. They had many, many titles attached to their names. And something went wrong. They stepped up, made some mistake, and suddenly that person fell right to the ground, and that respect was completely buried under the ground. May Allah protect us. May Allah Ta'ala not disgrace us in this world. So we should never judge the next person. In fact, I heard from my Shaykh Hazrat Shaki Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, he said that there was one particular Buzruk and Wali. He made it a condition that if anyone became bayat on his hands, one of the conditions was that you must harbor a good opinion of every single person. This was his condition. So he said on one occasion they were walking with this buzrug on the beach, and they saw a woman that wasn't dressed appropriately, and there was a man, and this woman was, you know, lying, her head was, or rather she was sitting not dressed appropriately, and there was a man now lying with his head on her thigh. So it looked, you know, and she had a bottle of wine in her hands. So now they came to Hazrat, they said, Hazrat, we know you said that we have to have good opinion, but I mean, this is absolutely clear. I mean, you can see the woman is not even dressed appropriately. This man has got his head on her lap, and she's holding the bottle of wine in her hand. I mean, what more? You know. So Hazrat said, no, wait. Hazrat said, wait, and he sent someone to go and find out what is happening here. So he turned out, this woman said that, you know, we are very, very poor people, we've got nothing. This is my son that is sleeping on my lap. He has got very, very high fever. I found this bottle on the shore, so I rinsed it out, and I'm using this water to bring down his fever. The Shaykh said, look, what you all were thinking, and what a good deed she was engaged in, that she was tending to her beloved son, and she was concerned about his fever, and she was trying to care for him, but you all were thinking something else. Therefore, remember, always harbor good opinions of the next person. But when it comes to ourselves, we should be very, very suspicious. We should be very suspicious of this nafs within ourselves. That we should consider it as that snake that has, you know, after we sat in the company of the Shaykh, or we went out in, you know, 40 days Jamaat, the snake has now gone into a bit of hibernation. Again, Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah, he says that this one person went into the Himalaya mountains whilst it was covered in ice, and he found a snake, a huge snake that was in hibernation. So he took the snake and he wrapped it around his neck, and he came down and he started to, you know, boast to the people that, look, I've caught this massive snake. But he said, what happened? Now the heat of the rays of the sun began to fall on the body of the snake, and the snake slowly started to come out of hibernation. And now when the snake started to move, this person who was carrying the snake was the first to run for his life. So he says, in the same way, O Salik, or that person who is trying to reach Allah Ta'ala, you should regard your nafs as a snake, very dangerous. It's waiting for that opportunity to pounce and attack, and to show its true danger and its poison. You sat in the company of the Shaykh, you went 40 days Jamaat, you went for one or two programs, that snake went into hibernation. But always be wary and suspicious that I do not know when the snake will strike. So finally, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, may Allah reward them, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the indicator that our hearts have become expanded of this noor, this light that has entered the heart? Nabi Kareem SAW mentioned three signs, and we'll just touch on them. Don't have time to go into each of them. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the first of these signs, that at-tajafi an daril ghurur. That the person, his heart is detached from this world of deception, this world of deceit. This dunya is a darul ghurur. The person gives his whole life to this world, you know, continues. And one person came to Maulana Yunus Sahab, Alhamdulillah, he says that, Maulana, my brother is, I don't have money, but my brother is insisting I must invest and invest and invest. So Maulana called the brother, he said, bhai, your brother doesn't even have enough money to buy a good vest. How is he going to invest? So you find the person, now he's working, he said, I'm working, Alhamdulillah, I set myself up. He said, why are you working so hard still? No, I'm setting my children up. He said, bhai, your children are set up now, why are you still working? No, my grandchildren. So the person continues to set up like multiple generations. Are we responsible for so many generations? So this is a trap of shaitan, and the person continues and continues and continues. And in the process, everything is left behind. The person will not take one cent into the grave. We should go to the grave sometimes and look at that person. A person who was a multi-millionaire. He had a massive investment portfolio, property portfolio, so many cars. But when the person goes into the grave, he takes nothing with him. Absolutely nothing. It should be a lesson for each and every one. Shukriya, qabr tak pahunchane wala shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge. That the person who is going into the grave, he's as if he's saying to the people that I thank you, shukriya, that you are taking me to my grave. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Now we'll travel all on our own. Nothing will come with us. So the person's heart is detached from this world. He realizes that I have to leave it behind. Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah used to give a beautiful example. He used to say in those days, you used to get the envelopes. When you would seal it, then if you try to separate the envelope, then it would tear. But he says, nowadays you get the envelope, you can open and close and open and close. So he says, that's an example of the attachment to this world. It doesn't mean there must be absolutely no attachment. That the person now loses his, son or his child, and now he says, "Bye, I don't feel anything. I'm completely detached from this world." We will say that that is not normal. There must be some little bit of attachment. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he lost his son, he shed tears. But he said the tongue will say nothing that violates the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart is attached, but it's a very mild kind of an attachment. Chalo, we lost this car. We feel the pain. It was a good car. But it is Allah has taken it out away from us. We'll make sabar. And inshallah Allah will give us something better. So the person feels that. But you find that he realizes that this car is not really going to benefit me in the akhirah. Yes, if I use the car for the khidmat of deen, then inshallah, alhamdulillah, this car was used to take jamaats from point A to point B, to go and visit the mashayikh. The many mashayikh sat in the car and they went from here to there. Alhamdulillah, Allah made it such that this vehicle was used for the khidmat and service of deen and the service of humanity. So alhamdulillah, that is a good thing. So that's the first point. And the second, wal inabatu ila daril khulud. So one was this dunya, which is darul ghurur. It is a place of deception. And there's an incident that comes to mind, but time does not permit, proving that this world is a place of deception. But suffice to say that the akhirah is the total opposite. It is darul khulud. Subhanallah, everything in the hereafter will be better and more beautiful and more eternal. Wal akhiratu khayru wa abqa. Allah says the akhirah is better and it's everlasting. And there are so many narrations. It is said in one narration that the last jannati, when he will enter after coming out of the fire of Jahannam, may Allah protect us, but that person will come out of the fire of Jahannam. And when he will come to the door of Jannah, it is mentioned that the beauty of the door of Jannah will be so captivating that he will stand admiring just the door of Jannah for a period of 40 years. Can we imagine, respected elders and brothers, if the door of Jannah is so beautiful, can we imagine how beautiful Jannah is? May Allah take us all without any reckoning. And Jannah, every day it becomes more and more beautiful. This world is the opposite. The person buys a house and he has to continuously maintain. Somebody said it very nicely, that this house is making every effort to turn into dust. Every effort to turn into dust. And the person has to continuously sort this out, sort that wall is collapsing, this is happening, that gutter is falling, this is happening. But akhirat is the complete opposite. That as the winds of Jannah blow through, everything becomes more beautiful, more vibrant. It is said that the husband will return home and look at his wife and say, you have become more beautiful. And she'll say likewise that you have become more beautiful. So, wal inabatu ila daril khulud. The person, his heart is inclined towards the akhirah. Everything that he does is associated to the akhirah. It is linked to the akhirah. Once Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullahi was sitting with the ulama-i kiram, Mufti Shafi'i sahab rahmatullahi, narrates this incident. He said, we went for a little break, a little holiday. And he said, we were in the mountains of the Himalaya. And Khaja sahab was cracking jokes. You know, some people, they think that cracking jokes is against deen and against sharia. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was light-hearted. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullahi was known that he would have a certain majlis late at night, which was known as the anti-depression majlis. Hazrat Muhammad sahab mentioned that one person came to the Khanqah, he was suffering from depression. And he was taking so many tablets for this depression. And he took part in this anti-depression majlis, which is a light-hearted majlis where they are, you know, cracking jokes, whatever it is. And he said, after 1 week, alhamdulillah, this person says, Maulana, all my depression is gone completely. They say laughter is the best medicine. Of course, the laughter also has to be within restriction, that the person doesn't laugh in such a way that he mocks the next person in any way whatsoever. But there has to be a light-hearted moment. There has to be some kind of laughter and so on. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that to meet your Muslim brother with a cheerful countenance, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not regard any deed as insignificant. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. Even if it means meeting your Muslim brother with a cheerful countenance. Sometimes a person thinks he is very pious. I made salam with him, he didn't even smile. That is not piety, respected elders and brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you met him, there was a happiness, there was a cheerfulness. Nevertheless, that's the second sign, and finally we'll terminate. وَالتَّأَهُبُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. That this person prepares for death before its arrival. This death can come at any time. We have to be ever ready for that death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to be always ready for this death, keeping death in front of us. That what if I have to leave this world? As a Mu'ayyin sahab rahmatullahi used to say, two words, keep it in mind. Okay, what if? What if, whilst committing this sin, the angel of death knocks on my door? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these wonderful qualities. May Allah purify our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.